Sisi Krishna Balaram Ki. Hare Krishna. Tomorrow. What is tomorrow? Hare Krishna. Oh, I see. And what else is tomorrow? Huh? It's Ekadasi. Yes. Hare Krishna. It is Ekadasi. Plus, it is Dasami. And so it is Dussehra too, which is the Dasami. Yes. Double the nectar. Anyway, our cooks will have to meditate on things. And it's Madhvacharya's, I forget actually, appearance or disappearance day, one of the two. So tomorrow, I guess we'll talk more about Lord Ram, we'll just see. But anyway, today, let us carry on talking about Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram. Because, am I right? Today is, don't tell me, Friday. But isn't today the, what now, 18th anniversary of the installation of Krishna and Balaram? Oh. Sri Krishna Balaram Ki. Sri Krishna Balaram Ki. Sri Krishna Balaram Ki. Did you ever have Dina Bandhu Prabhu from Vrindavan? He came?
Yes.
Twice?
Once.
Once? And did he do the kirtan? What is it? Krishna Kaneya. Dauji Kapaya. Oh, he's good with that. Okay. Can't hear. Can't hear. Okay. Would it be better to use that one? Because this one, you know, you get the special, you know. You really couldn't hear, is it? Seriously. Oh, he used both, my Lord. Okay, Hare Krishna. See, it's very long, yeah. Well, let's see if it falls down. Just sit down, relax. BTA up. And okay, now we got two. But the thing is, this one I think is better because it has more protection from the p and the b. Yeah. They call it, sometimes they have an actual shield. And they call it, some call it a p. For purpose. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Or should we turn the volume up? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
so, what a wonderful, auspicious day. For us, really, it's even more auspicious than Dussehra, which, of course, is a wonderful day. But it's closer to the heart, isn't it? It's closer to the heart because Krishna and Balaram are the lords of our hearts. And they are the presiding deities of Gaborone and actually the whole of Botswana. Like in London, central London, the deities are Shishi Radha, London Ishwara. In Paris, there's Sri Sri Radha Paris Ishvara. Maybe there's other, well, Hungry Ishvara. No, they're, what are they, Radhisham Sundra, I think. Yeah, but you know, in terms of using the name of the particular location, those two I know of, maybe there's others. Well, of course, Krishna's also Dwarakadish. Yeah, yeah. So, yes. So, Gaborone Ishwara. Hare Krishna. But that's what they are. Yes. So it's a very special occasion. And I saw the devotees did special Rajboga. Very nice. Gujarati style. Very nice. I'm sure Krishna and Balaram were very happy. I'm sure they are very happy being cared for so nicely. So last night, among other things, we were talking about how Lord Balaram is the original spiritual master and Srimati Radharani is also the original spiritual master. Sometimes they are referred to like that, in those ways. And we explained how it works. That this is because they are the closest to Krishna. They know Krishna better than anyone. Because Krishna's very complex personality. Krishna's very complex personality. You know, we are complex enough personalities, isn't it? I think sometimes we may not even understand ourselves. Should I tell you the joke about the man in Italy who found the bottle with the genie in it? It could be considered chauvinist. If I tell it, will you promise, ladies, not to take offense? Okay? Not allowed to. Not permitted. There's this man in Italy. See, I was told this when I was in Italy, so it had to be in Italy. There's this man in Italy, and he found this old bottle, and he rubbed it, and out came an Italian genie. And the genie said, here I am. I'm a genie. Tell me what you want. But don't ask for too much, because I am a modern genie. I'm not one of the old genies. You get three wishes. No. With me, you just get one. And just, you know, keep it moderate. Nothing excessive. So the man said, okay, I have relatives in New York. Please build me a bridge from here to New York so I can drive over and meet my relatives. And the genie said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I am a modern genie. We don't do these big things. Ask for something more moderate. And the man thought and said, okay, well, all right. Can you help me to understand my wife? And the genie became silent and he said, you know that bridge to New York? How many lanes did you want it? You're not offended, are you, ladies? Anyway, it's just a mundane joke, actually. Because sometimes when devotees are falling asleep in class, we have to. It's a strategy. Strategic class giving. Sometimes you have to tell a joke. Sometimes you just have to mention the words. Illicit sex life. And suddenly... It's like, please, please forgive me. Sorry to be X-rated. So what now? We were saying, yes, that Krishna's very complex personality. And you try to understand Krishna. Oh, Lord Brahma, in the, what is it, 14th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, after, just at the end of the pastime of him stealing the cowherd boys and calves. So in the 14th chapter, next chapter, Lord Brahma, he offers his prayers to Lord Krishna. And they're very beautiful. They're very beautiful prayers. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur actually says, just at the beginning of that chapter, just like introductory words to that chapter, he says, I will cross the ocean of material existence on the boat of the prayers of Lord Brahma. Yeah. So they're very special prayers. And in the course of those prayers, Lord Brahma refers to the qualities of Krishna. He says, you have so many qualities, more than the grains of sand, you know, on the beaches, in the deserts, wherever you get sand. Yeah. You've got more qualities than there are grains of sand on all the beaches and in all the deserts like that in the universe. And then he says, you have more qualities than there are stars in the sky. He is increasing, you see. Grains of sand, now stars in the sky is more. And then he says, you have more qualities than there are atoms in the universe. Sure. Which is obviously some just completely fantastic, incalculable number. You know, just talking about Dussehra and the Ram Vijay, the great victory of Lord Ram, the killing of Ravana. In the Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana, it's described that on the final day of the battle, when the only person left on the side of Ravan was himself, and literally everyone else on his side was dead. But Lord Ram, his army, even though the monkeys and bears, some of them would be killed every day, but they were brought back to life. And so Ravana came out of the palace in the morning for the battle, and he saw this incredible number of monkeys and bears. And the Ramayana says the number was so great. It is a Sanskrit Vedic number. 1 koti maha oga. 1 koti maha oga. It sounds sort of very imposing. It is 1 followed by 64 zeros. So what would you call that? You know, we have billions, trillions, quadrillions, quintillions, sextillions, septillions, octillions. What's after that? Notillions, destillions, I don't know. But this is much more. Zillions. This is 1 koti maha oga. 1 followed by 64 zeros. That was the number of warriors, mainly bears and monkeys, who were there on the side of Lord Ram, and there they were facing Ravana. But Ravana, his false ego, his sense of self-importance, and, you know, just, I'm so special and I'm so powerful. He saw this vast, vast, vast number of warriors there. And he thought, no problem, I'll just kill them all. And devotee did a calculation. If he killed, what was it? I think if he killed a monkey or a warrior every second, it would take him a day of Brahma to kill that many. But still his false ego was such that he thought, no problem. This is Ravana, like you could say, the personification of material consciousness. So, anyway, Lord Krishna has more qualities than there are atoms in the universe. And in the comments there, it is pointed out, Lord Brahma is saying this, and it's pointed out that Lord Brahma knows how many atoms there are. Yes. So, he has some idea in that sense. How many qualities Krishna has? And Krishna has so many qualities. He's got all these. This vast, 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 unlimited number of qualities, which are generally observable, generally perceivable, generally perceivable by the devotees, you know, at least sometimes. So, but then Sanatana Goswami gives the explanation that Lord Krishna is Gunatma. It means he is just the entity of qualities. His self is just qualities, so many. And he explains that Lord Krishna has a special quality which he only reveals to each one of us. So Krishna reveals some very special quality only to Devaki Nandan Prabhu and not to Paramahansa Prabhu. But then he reveals another, you know, astonishing, incredible quality only to Paramahansa and not to Ashish. But don't worry, Ashish, he's got one for you too. This is Krishna. And that is for every living entity. Not just the human beings on this planet, you know, that's already 7 billion or whatever it may be. But can you hear, or is it difficult? Yeah? Right, so it's not just to each one of the 7 billion humans on this planet. You know, devotee asked Prabhupada once, of the, you know, there's 8,400,000 species. Of them, the top 400,000 are humans. Top human is Lord Brahma. Bottom human, well, I don't know, but some sort of, you know, like apes, the monkeys, they're borderline, they're marginal. Yeah. They have some humanness to some degree. Anyway, so devotee asked Prabhupada, how many of the 400,000 human species do we have on this planet? Did you ever think of that? Interesting question. And Srila Prabhupada thought momentarily, and Prabhupada said, maybe 2,000. Then he thought again, he said, no, probably not more than 1,000. So, you know, our 7 billion human beings, it's really a drop in the bucket, even just within the human beings. And what to speak of all the other species. Yeah. So, how many qualities does Krishna have? Well, you know, it was already enough when you say more than the number of atoms in the universe. But now there's all these special ones, very personalized. I wonder what Mr. Mooney's special quality that Krishna keeps reserved for him only will be. Find out. Keep chanting. You'll find out. So I'm just saying, Krishna is a very complex person. And to understand Krishna, that's a challenge. That's a challenge. But who could understand him better than his elder brother, first expansion, who is the closest family member? And who could understand him better than Srimati Radharani, who is part of him, his pleasure potency? His pleasure potency. She is part of his being. His capacity to experience pleasure, that's what it means. We all have some capacity to experience pleasure, and it gets stimulated a bit in different situations. We get into different experiences we have. We feel some pleasure. That's our pleasure potency. Yes. But Krishna, his pleasure potency means the sum total of all pleasure. sum total of all pleasure. But to heighten everything, he places it outside of himself as a separate person, Srimati Radharani. And then through interacting with his pleasure potency in the form of a separate person, the whole experience increases and increases unlimitedly. This is why he does like that. To increase the pleasure, the ecstasy, increase his own ecstasy. Yes. Otherwise, we have, like in Brahma Samhita, there's the description of Mahavishnu. He is in yoga nidra, mystical, well, like you just say a samadhi, a trance, like that, a meditative trance of spiritual perfection. You know, sometimes we say mystic slumber, but it's got nothing to do with sleep, actually. Yeah. It's a very deep state of transcendental ecstatic meditation. And what is he meditating on? He is meditating on Rama Devi, who is the expansion of Srimati Radharani, who is the consort of Mahavishnu. You know, Sita Ram, Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, Rama Mahavishnu. This is how it works. But Rama Devi is within. She, at least at that stage of things, is not outside as the separate person. She is within. So therefore he is absorbed in pastimes with her within himself. And through being totally absorbed in that, his consciousness is completely withdrawn from any external manifestation. Yeah. And I remember, at least I was told, that back in, let's say, it was sort of the mid-90s, in Sri Rangam, in Tamil Nadu. Any Tamils here? Ah, Vanikam, Nandri. So, down there in Tamil Nadu is the biggest temple in India, Sri Rangam. And Ranganath is the deity who is Vishnu, who's in that trance. And but when I went there first 91, I think it was 91 or, yeah, 91. And they hadn't finished the main Gopuram, they call it, on the main front entrance. It was just the entranceway, and it was just cut off. Yeah. So anyway, they collected donations and they finished it by a few years later, like 95 maybe, something like that. And then they had big opening. And would you believe, just see what Kali Yuga's like. The Shankaracharya of Kanchipuram, which is, it's not so far away. It's down there somewhere in South India. Even though, you know, he is, well, he's passed away, but he was the current Acharya. Actually, there's four at a time Shankaracharyas in the line of the actual Shankaracharya himself, the big Mayavadi Acharya. So the Shankaracharya, would you believe, he donated some money to finish the Gopurams. And he came along to the opening ceremony, and he gave a speech. And in it, well, on the different levels in this big entrance tower, on one of them is Ranganath in trance. And Shankaracharya said, yes, see, there is Ranganath. He is asleep. He is in Tamagun. And there's one sort of very enthusiastic Sri Vaishnav living down there. And he sued the Shankaracharya on behalf of Ranganath for defamation of character. Seriously. And he won. Yes, it was in court. And Shankaracharya, although he already sponsored, you know, quite a lot of money, he had to pay another 25,000 rupees for defamation. Anyway, that's just by the way. So Mahavishnu, though, he, as described in Brahma Samhita, he's in trance. Because internally, he's associating with Rama. And they're having pastimes within. And of course, that is much more attractive than, you know, just dealing with the material world. So therefore, his consciousness is completely withdrawn internally. But in the case of Krishna, and generally for that matter, the consort is external. And this is Radharani. And therefore, Radharani, as part of Krishna, oh, she knows Krishna, of course. She knows Krishna very well. And we said we'd tell you a little pastime in which this point comes out. It's really quite interesting. It's a pastime described by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that Lord Krishna one time, in order to get up to a little transcendental mischief, yes, Lord Krishna disguised himself as a demigoddess, female, and came down to where Radharani and the gopis were, somewhere in the Vrajmandala. Somewhere in Vrajmandala. And this demigoddess, very beautiful with beautiful clothes and ornaments, suddenly came there, just walked in. And Radharani and the gopis were astonished. Who is this exquisite looking and rather dark-skinned young lady? And they all crowded around her. But then they saw this young lady was very distressed, very disturbed, and just crying and crying. And Radharani felt compassionate. And she said, What's the problem? Can we help you? And the demigoddess just looked at her and put her head down and started crying again and wailing. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram ki. So the demigoddess, Krishna, wouldn't say what's wrong. And Radharani had to start guessing. Did your lover insult you, offend you? Or have you seen some fault in him? Is that what it is? Demigoddess looked at her and put her head down and just cried and wailed. And Radharani said, well, is your husband a bit of a, in Hindi you might say, murk? Is he a bit of a mudha? And now you happen to have met some other man who is just, you know, like perfect or something like that. Is that why you're feeling distressed? And the demigoddess just looked at Radharani and just put her head down and cried and cried. And Radharani was going on and on and on, guessing. But the demigoddess would not say. And actually, they didn't even know she was a demigoddess yet. So eventually, after a while, the demigoddess calmed down a little, just a little, and said, you know, I am a demigoddess, and I have been watching you from up there, from the heavenly planets. I have been watching you, and I've been watching Krishna, and I've been watching how he treats you, and I feel so bad. I feel so sorry for you. That it's too much. It's just become too much. And I'm just overwhelmed. And now I've come down here just to express it. You know, because I see it all from up there. You don't see it all. But I see it all. I know what he's doing. How he's cheating you. So I've come here now to help you. To understand what a rascal this Krishna is, so you can reject him, which is just what he deserves. And Radharani said, no, it's not like that. He really loves me. And the demigoddess, Krishna, the demigoddess said, you poor innocent fool. You think he loves you? No. And she's just crying and wailing. You don't know. I see what he does. He's with you. He's very nice. And you feel happy. And then he says something like, my mother is calling me. I have to go. And you think, oh, yes, of course. Mother Yashoda is a senior. You must go. But he just goes to meet another gopi. He just goes to meet another girl. He lies to you. He cheats you. And I feel so bad. I feel so sorry for you. I just cannot control myself. And she just started wailing and crying and crying and crying. And Radharani said, no, it's not really like that. It's not really like that. You see, the thing is that I know he loves me. But there's so many other gopis, they love him too. My love is so great, it is like Mount Meru. Vast, huge mountain. Their love is so small compared to mine, it's like a mustard seed. But still they love him. And Krishna, being very compassionate, he goes to give them some association. So I understand. I don't mind. Because I know they love him. So I don't mind. It's okay. Because I know they love him. And I know he loves me. So it's all right. It's fine. He comes back after a little while. Yes. And the demigoddess was wailing and crying. And you saying, "You poor, you're just a fool. You're a nice fool, but you're still just a fool. You're just innocent, an innocent village girl. Listen, if he loves you so much, then why did he leave you during the Rasa dance? Why? Why? Can't you see? Can't you understand that he's just cheating you? He ran off to meet some other gopis. It's terrible." And Radharani said, "No, no, no, no. That's not the case. You see, what happened was," Radharani is explaining, "first he left all the gopis and ran off with me. And the gopis were following behind. And they were going to catch us any minute. And if they had caught us, they would have been so angry with Krishna for taking me away and just dumping them. They would have been so angry. There would have been a big shouting match and all sorts of angry words. And the whole mood of the Rasa dance would have been lost. And everyone would have just gone home without really getting into the Rasa dance. So Krishna was very clever. He left me just when the gopis were coming, so they would find me also abandoned, and then they'd feel very compassionate towards me. And then Krishna appeared again, and we were all happy, and the Rasa dance continued." You see, you follow the logic. Yeah. So actually it was his mercy that he left me. And the demigoddess Krishna said, "Oh no, you don't understand. Oh no, you're so nice. You're so naive. Just so innocent, so easily cheated. Don't you understand? I'm trying to help you. You've got to leave him. Leave him. Find some decent man for yourself." And then the demigoddess said, "Look, you know, you say he's compassionate. Compassionate. Him. Compassionate. He killed a woman. He killed a woman who came to breastfeed him. And he killed her. What is that?" Because, you know, according to Vedic culture, women, what to speak of being, you know, well, women, what to speak of being killed, women cannot even be chastised. Did you know that? Women cannot even be chastised. Yes. But this rascal, he killed a woman who was so kind. She was offering to breastfeed him. What sort of compassion is that? He's a terrible person, hard-hearted. And then, a little after that, he killed a baby cow. That was Vatsasura. And Radharani said, "Well, that was Vatsasura. He was a demon." And the demigoddess said, "Doesn't matter. We're still a baby cow, just a little cow. See, he's terrible. This is Gohatya. Killing a cow. This is the most sinful activity." And then, a little later, he killed a male cow. That means a bull. Arishtasura. He killed a male cow. Just see. What? You say he's compassionate, merciful, nice, lovable. Oh no. And then Radharani said, actually, you know, the thing is, when those demons were killed, it wasn't Krishna. Krishna didn't do it. It was Vishnu within him. See, this is the philosophy, actually. Krishna doesn't exactly kill the demons, but Vishnu within him kills the demons. Not that Vishnu then steps out and fights the demon and kills the demon and steps back in to Krishna. But it's just how it works. It is Vishnu who kills the demon. So Radharani explained that. And the demigoddess said, oh no, and just wailing and crying. I'm trying to help you, can't you understand? He's a bad person, you should reject him. And Radharani then said, actually, he's not a bad person. And he does love me much, much more than anybody else. And I know that. And the demigoddess said, what do you mean you know it? How can you say you know it? What do you know? You're just an innocent fool. And Radharani said, no, I know it. I actually know it. And the demigoddess said, how do you know it? What's your process for knowing it? And Radharani revealed, she said, I know it because Krishna and I are not two people. We are one person. We are two halves of one person. So therefore I know. I know how he feels. I know how he thinks. Because we are one person. And Krishna, the demigoddess, got a bit bewildered and said, well, if you and he are one person, then where is he now? Where is he? And if you and him are one person, bring him here now. Just bring him here. Right now. Says the demigoddess. Who's Krishna? And Radharani said, yes, I can do it. I can do it. I'll bring him here right now. So Radharani went into meditation. And she prayed to the sun god, who is, you know, in terms of the village religious programs, is like her Ishtadeva for doing religious ceremonies and rituals for, like that. So she prayed to the sun god, please bring Krishna here. And she's sitting with her eyes closed, deep in meditation. Bring Krishna here. And her meditation was so powerful, Krishna could no longer maintain his disguise. And so now there he was as Krishna in front of the other gopis, but Radharani had her eyes closed. And Krishna told the other gopis, quiet, don't say anything. Don't say anything. So they just acted like, you know, life is going on. And then after a little while, Radharani opened her eyes and there was Krishna. And she said, see, there he is. And she looked for the demigoddess, but the demigoddess had gone. the demigoddess had disappeared. And she asked the gopis, where did the demigoddess go? And of course, you know, they're all party to the situation. So they said, well, she just disappeared. She just went. She just left while you were meditating. And Krishna said, yeah, you know, this is very bad. There I was, out herding the cows, and suddenly I felt myself just being dragged here. And here I am in the women's quarters. This is very embarrassing. And how could you do that? It's very low class of you. You know, don't interfere with me. So, anyway, as they say, Hare Krishna. They all lived happily ever after. Yeah, so this is famous, maybe not so famous, but a very nice pastime of Radha and Krishna, told by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which illustrates this point. At least, you know, this point is involved. How Radha and Krishna are not just two people, but they're one person. Two parts of one person. And as we said last night, Prabhupada asked the devotees one time, who is God? And it sounds like a silly question to ask devotees, because they've been devotees for several years. Now, who's God? Everyone said, Krishna! And Prabhupada said, no. Radha Krishna is God. One time I was in Srila Prabhupada's rooms in the big room, if you're familiar with Bhaktivedanta Manor, Prabhupada's rooms there. There's the lounge, which was like his darshan room. So we were in there, and with the German book distribution party, they were all brahmacharis, and they were really big, tough brahmacharis. Oh boy, they were big, tough brahmacharis, really, and just totally into book distribution. The GBC was Hansa Dutta, and they were, you know what a panzer is? It's a tank, a war tank, you know, motorized vehicle with a big cannon on it, a tank, a panzer, German, it's a German one. So that the GBC there was Hansa Dutta, and they were called Hansa's Panzers. Because they were like that. They were just way out. And just totally into book distribution. So they got to have a darshan with Srila Prabhupada. Just them, and somehow I was there too. And Prabhupada asked them, so, what is the main thing? You know, he knew they're all book distributors, like practically fanatical book distributors. What is the main thing? And all of them went, book distribution, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no. And they became bewildered. And they said, preaching, Srila Prabhupada? No. spreading Krishna consciousness? No. And eventually they just ran out of ideas and they just sat there. And Prabhupada said, the main thing is you must read the books. That is the main thing. I've written these books for you. And Prabhupada said, if you have not read the books and you go out to distribute them, give someone a book and they ask you, what is it? What's it about? And you say, well, I don't know because I haven't read it, but it's a good book, you should buy it. That's not very good. So you must read the books. Yes. Again, this is Srila Prabhupada. Very extraordinary personality. So, yes. So Radha and Krishna are one. They're not two. They're one. But of course, they're functioning as two apparently independent personalities. And through doing that, the pleasure increases and increases millions of times, just astronomically, beyond what it would be if the pleasure potency was just within him. Yes. And so it's very amazing. It's very wonderful. And therefore Radharani is sometimes described as being the original spiritual master, because she really knows Krishna because she's part of him. Okay, so now let us move on to another little pastime. Let us see. One time, Krishna and the cowherd boys, they were out herding the cows with Madhu Mangal. You're familiar with Madhu Mangal, Krishna's funny Brahmin friend, who is a real character. He is in South Africa, they would say, you know, in Chatsworth, where I'm from, they would say he's very healthy. You know, means he's sort of plump, very healthy, because he eats a lot, and particularly eats a lot of sweets. Every day, every meal, his specialty is laddus, although he's ready for anything, but his specialty is laddus, and he eats minimum 25 with every meal. That's minimum. So one day Krishna and Balaram and Madhu Mangal and the cowherd boys, they were out herding the cows near Varshana. And they were, how many of you have been to Varshana? Quite a few. You know, there's a place in Varshana, it is called Sankari Kor. And it is a narrow gully between two hills going down. And it goes right into a village called Chiksoli, which is the village of Chitradevi, who's one of the Astasakis, one of the eight main girlfriends of Radharani. So Radharani and the gopis came up through this narrow gully, coming up, and they came to the top. And then it's just an open area there on top. And there was Krishna and Madhu Mangal particularly, and the cowherd boys. And Madhu Mangal, you know, he, well, yeah, we mentioned a little, But he is a real character. He has one leg shorter than the other. You know, some people have that, some like a disability. And so he walks with a limp. And he loves to mock the gopis. He loves to mock them. Look at these girls. What use are girls? I mean, what use are they? They're useless. We don't need them. So the gopis came up through this narrow gully one by one, and Madhu Mangal told Krishna, look, here come those girls. Oh my God, what a joke. And so Krishna and the cowherd boys, they blocked the gopis, wouldn't let them past. What are you girls doing? We know what you're doing. You are sneaking around, because the gopis had pots of yogurt and ghee and things on their heads. You are sneaking around here, trying to sell your dairy products on the black market. We know all about you. Trying to avoid paying tax. But we have caught you today. So you go. Just go. Go back down to the village there. So Krishna, Madhu Mangal, Balaram, the cowherd boys, they literally pushed the gopis back down into the gully. And Madhu Mangal was just laughing and saying, we got you girls. Useless girls. Don't take it personally, ladies. It's all in good fun. And so the gopis had to retreat. And just as they're going through the gully, Krishna threw a big rock, and it knocked a pot of yogurt off Radharani's head, and the pot of yogurt smashed on the rocks on the side. And you can still see the stain on the rocks today from Radharani's yogurt. At least that's what they say. Yes, because they say many things. The notorious them. So anyway, yeah. So the gopis had to retreat. Down they went to Chitradevi's village. They gathered reinforcements, hundreds of gopis with big pots of yogurt and ghee, and particularly yogurt. And they went back up through Sankari Kaur. And there's Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys and Madhu Mangal celebrating their great victory. We got those girls. And suddenly the gopis start coming through again, one by one. And Krishna and the cowherd boys thought, you know, just another opportunity to have a good laugh at their expense. Why are they doing this? But then they saw more gopis and more gopis and more gopis and more, until there were hundreds of gopis who surrounded Krishna and Madhu Mangal and the cowherd boys. And particularly a whole group of them surrounded Madhu Mangal and started pouring yogurt on him. And Madhu Mangal said, stop, stop, I'm a Brahmin. They just poured more yogurt on him. He said, you stop right now, otherwise you'll become guilty of the sin of drowning a Brahmin. they just laughed and poured more yogurt on him. And Madhu Mangal started crying. Oh, poor Madhu Mangal. Yeah. He tends to go from one extreme to another. So the gopis completely defeated Krishna and the cowherd boys. Completely. They were just covered in yogurt and ghee. Haribol. Jai the gopis. And the gopis went back down to Chitradevi's village, back again through the gully. And then Krishna, Madhu Mangal and the cowherd boys pulled themselves together a bit after a while. And they thought, okay, that's it. Revenge. We have to get revenge. So they went down through the gully. And they raided Chitradevi's father's butter storehouse. And they're just having a good old time feasting. And the gopis came by outside and they saw what was going on. They locked them in from the outside. And suddenly, Krishna, Madhu Mangal, the cowherd boys, they see, we're trapped. We're locked in. We're in big trouble. But then they saw up the top, just up there, a little window like that. So they, one by one, they climbed up and they got out the window and they all got out. And they all got out and Madhu Mangal was the last one. And he climbed up. He got his head through the window. He got his shoulders through the window. He got his chest through the window. His tummy got stuck. Got completely stuck. And he's trying to pull himself. Just couldn't do it. He was stuck. And Krishna and the cowherd boys, they just disappeared. And then the gopis came, opened the storehouse, and they saw, they've all gone. Oh no. But then they saw, what is that? Flapping in the window. A round thing with two extensions. It is Madhu Mangal's rear end and his legs. So they got sticks and they took it in turns, whacking him on the backside. And whenever they'd whack him, then his head, which is outside, they'd whack him and go, Krishna! Whack! Help! But Krishna had gone. So after whacking him for a while, they pulled him in, tied him up, and took him to a nearby kund. There, they tied a string to his sika, because Madhu Mangal, he has a long sika. They tied a string to it, threw the string over the branch of a tree, and took it in turns to pull on his sika. And he's going out, Krishna, help! And after a while, Krishna came. And Krishna said, what are you girls doing? This is Maha Aparad. He is a first class Brahmin. How could you do this? And Krishna said, you have to apologize to him. Beg forgiveness. And just offer to do whatever he wants you to do to get his forgiveness. Anything. Otherwise, Krishna said, you, each one of you, will become the 99th wife, of a cranky old man. So the gopis now, they're really scared. And they approached Madhu Mangal and said, you know, we got a little carried away there. We're sorry. And Madhu Mangal said, yes, terrible offense, terrible apparat, you're finished. And the gopi said, well, what can we do to get forgiveness? Just order us. Please tell us. And Madhu Mangal said, I want 1,000,000 laddus. So they raced home. They got 1,000,000 laddus. And they came back and they started feeding him 1,000,000 laddus. And there's a throne there by that kund. It's called the throne of Madhu Mangal. He was sitting there just eating 1, 2, 3 eating laddus. And after about 5,000, he was feeling a little better. He was getting over it a bit. And they could see that. And Madhu Mangal, when he's in a good mood, with one hand he begs charity, with the other hand he gives blessings. So he's accepting the sweets. And then he got into blessings mood. And one gopi came and gave him some laddus. He said, what would you like? And she said, well, could I have Krishna as my husband? And Madhu Mangal said, tatastu, let it be. And then another gopi came, gave him more laddus. And he said, what would you like? Well, could I also have Krishna as my husband? Yes, let it be so. So, in this way, everyone was happy. Madhu Mangal got his 1,000,000 laddus. The gopis got his infallible blessing to get Krishna as their husband. And as they say, they all lived happily ever after. So, Madhu Mangal is a character. He's really a character. Let me close by just telling you another little story about Madhu Mangal and Prasadam. Very important story. One day, Krishna was explaining to the cowherd boys about the ecstatic symptoms of bhava, of prema, the emotional symptoms. And Krishna was saying, yes, when the spiritual energy contacts the element water in the body and stimulates it, then tears come from the eyes. You see? It's not like, you know, we've all cried before, but it's not that. This is something different. It means the whole element water throughout the whole body becomes agitated strongly by the internal spiritual potency. And so water just starts coming out of different places, actually, wherever it can come out. When Lord Chaitanya would dance in Ratha Yatra, tears would come from his eyes like from a hose, you know, squirting out. And all the people surrounding Lord Chaitanya would become completely saturated. So Krishna is explaining this. When the spiritual energy contacts the element ear in the body, then the body starts shaking. See, this is another symptom of bhava or prema. The body starts shaking. And like this, Krishna was explaining, you know, there's change of color, there's hairs standing on end, there's like, well, there's perspiration, faltering of the voice, like stammering, can't speak properly. When the internal potency contacts the different elements that the body is made of, because it's just too powerful. The spiritual potency is just too powerful for our material bodies. So Krishna's explaining this, and Madhu Mangal, sitting there sort of nodding his head, yeah, it's okay, not bad. And Krishna finished, and Madhu Mangal said, actually, you know, that was not a bad explanation for a Vaishya. For a Vaishya, it was good. Well done. It was nice for a Vaishya. But I am a Brahmin. So I will now clarify things. Yeah. He said, actually, I have a lot of experience with these ecstatic symptoms. Oh yes, a lot of experience. Actually, they are connected with prasadam. He said, when there is talk of prasadam, my voice falters and I stammer. When I smell the prasadam coming, perspiration comes. When I see the prasadam, tears just come from my eyes. And when I first taste some prasadam, my body trembles. And when I have the sabji with puri, then my ears stand on end. And when I have the samosa, oh, my body changes color. And towards the end, when I have chum chum, sweet, I become stunned. And finally, at the end, when I eat lots and lots of kheer, sweet rice, oh, I become totally devastated, I just faint. So, you see, this is how it works. Ecstatic symptoms. And actually, Madhu Mangal, he's famous, particularly when he eats kheer. Even Prabhupada said that you should have no inhibitions with prasadam. Prabhupada said that. You don't need to have inhibitions. Just take prasadam to your satisfaction. So Madhu Mangal does that. And when he has the kheer at the end, he just sort of pours it over his face. And it runs down his chin and runs down his chest. And then his plump tummy is sticking out. And it sort of gathers on his tummy and runs over and forms a pool in his navel. And when that happens, Madhu Mangal knows it's a good feast. So you might think that, you know, he just likes eating. He just wants to enjoy eating because, you know, there's some sense gratification in eating. But it's not that. Madhu Mangal, oh, what a devotee he is. Oh, what a devotee he is. He's one of the most exalted friends of Krishna. So, actually, he is just experiencing Krishna in it. It's his way of, one of his ways of interacting with Krishna. That's why he relishes it so much. Just like Krishna is known as Makanchor, the butter thief. He can just sit down and eat butter. Can you do that? 1 kilo, 2 kilos. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki. I'm really going to close after this. So, yeah, you know, it's not so easy. You don't really find many people. I knew one devotee. He would sit down with 1/4 kilo of butter and just eat it. Just eat it in England. Yeah. So, but generally people don't do that because it's a bit too heavy and strong and just, you know, difficult for the system to deal with. But Krishna eats lots of butter. Why? Is it just that he likes the taste? It's just so tasty. No, that's not the case. And we should understand it. It's important that the cows, oh, Hare Krishna, Shri Shri Krishna Balarama ki, the cows, they are thinking, we want our milk to go to Krishna. That's all they're thinking. So all their love goes into their milk. And then the ladies milk the cows and take all the milk, and then at least a lot of it, some of it, they transform into different things. Cream, yogurt, then from the yogurt, traditionally they make the butter from the yogurt, and various other things. So, as they are converting the milk into the different things, they're simply meditating, we want Krishna to have this cream, this yogurt, this cheese, whatever it is. And of all the things that they transform the milk into, the butter involves the most labor. I don't know if any of you ever tried to make butter from yogurt. Whew. Now that's good exercise. Yeah. It really is quite a job. And while they're doing it, whereas cream, it's quite easy. Yogurt, you just put the culture in, warm it up and leave it. You know, it's easy. It's not very complicated. Paneer is not so complicated. But butter, it takes hours. It takes hours. And all the time they're meditating, we want Krishna to have this butter. And all their love is going in and in and in. And because it's a longer time to make it, more of the love is going in and in. So the most love is in the butter. And Krishna, he wants to taste the love. That's what he wants. So, therefore he eats the butter. However, Krishna cannot just walk in and say, you know, here I am, where's the butter? And then they'll hand over the butter. Because if the ladies do that, their husbands will get very upset. Because this is their livelihood. Now you're just giving away our livelihood. And maybe there would be divorce. So, to save the ladies from getting into trouble, Krishna steals the butter. And then when the husbands come home at night and say, where's the butter? The wives can say, you won't believe it. Oh, Krishna stole it all. Like they're upset also. But they're not upset. They're very happy. But Krishna, to protect the ladies, his dear devotees, he steals it and he takes the blame. And so Krishna is famous as Makanchon, the butter thief. And Mother Yashoda, because Krishna, she gives him so much butter, kilos and kilos, just eat it all. And she goes away, she comes back 5 minutes later, he's gone. He's next door stealing their butter. So Mother Yashoda thinks, you know, what's wrong? What sort of mother am I? My butter is so bad. Krishna won't eat it. He has to go and steal other people's. And she's always in anxiety that Krishna, he's developed this stealing habit. He's dishonest. And in the future, today he's stealing butter. In the future, he may steal not motor cars, but ox carts, buffalo wagons. And people will think, what sort of mother did this person have? And he may form the Makan Mafia. Anyway, this is why Krishna steals the butter, for the love. Hare Krishna. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram ki. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram ki. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram ki. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Mahaprasad ki. Kapremanande. Hare Krishna. So please. Please come. Get your gentle.